1 John 4:18, this very good verse. 1 John 4:18. The classes, I had to spend $250 on microphones. So they ought to be, the volume ought to be up a little higher now. And that's only half of the microphones I had to replace. They think they're high. Phobos. Uk. Estin. In. Te. Agape. All. He. Telea. Agape. Exo. Vale. Tone. Hobone. Hote. Ho. Phobos. Colossin. Eke. Ho. De. Phobobanos. U. Teteleote. In. Te. Agape. All right. Now this up here, this is an old Latin saying. I put this up here mainly for my mother because she's the only one I ever knew that took Latin besides me. And I have forgotten all of mine. It's sine timore et amore cum timore, sine amore cum timore et amore, sine timore cum amore. And what that says, it says, and timore is fear. It comes right out of Greek. All right? And timore until love. You will have fear until you love. You will have fear until you love. And the love that we're talking about is the godly love. You will fear until you have love. And when you love God like you ought to, you will quit fearing because you will not be afraid of judgment anymore. All right? There's all kinds of phobias. What kind of phobias can you name off?
Hydrophobia.
Hydrophobia? The fear of water. Yeah, the scare of height. Arachnophobia, the scare of spiders. All different kinds of phobias. All right. What's the one where you're afraid of crowds? Agoraphobia? Agoraphobia. And also, there is Chrysis phobia. Chrysis. That's the fear of judgment. And that's what we're talking about right here. Chrysisophobia. The fear of judgment. When we come into this world, we're all under the judgment of Adam, our father, aren't we? We're all sentenced with a sentence of death. And our whole life, we are trying to stay alive, aren't we? That's what you do. You try to keep on living. But after Hebrews 9:27 says what? Anybody remember that one? But Wally is here. He'd know that one. Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We all fear death and we all fear judgment. But when you're a child of God, and you know it. Brother Bill was a child of God for a long time, but he didn't have the right teaching foundation under him. And so you didn't know the love of God. You knew the judgment of God every Sunday. You knew the judgment, bam, 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 every Sunday. But did you know the love of God? Did you know the grace of God? Tracy wrote me a letter, Tracy Adams, and she said that she had not ever known the grace of God until she came to my class. She'd been to Baptist churches all her life, but she did not know the real forgiveness of God until she came to the class. Because I teach that. The Bible teaches it. Fear not, it is in the love. Fear is its own punishment. Do you know that? Some people are so afraid to die that they can't live. Did you know that? Some people are so afraid to die that they can't live. They're afraid. They're afraid to go out of doors. Isn't that a nice oaky saying? Out of doors. They're afraid. Afraid to live.
I'm more afraid of what will happen to me while I'm here than when I die.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of that.
That's right. Well, we have natural fear to try to stay alive, don't we? We have a natural fear. I'll tell you one thing. This last year, I have had to learn how to eat all over again because I tell you, I lost 40 pounds, people. I was dying. And it was food that was killing me. I had to learn what I couldn't eat. And I mean, I've been going the same old thing, eating the same thing, taking my vitamins and my cancer medication and everything. All of a sudden, it just wham, bam. It didn't work anymore. He was doing me in. So I lost a lot of weight and everything else. And my doctors kept saying, oh, just take this, take this, take this, take this. If I'd have done what they said, I'd have been dead. By now, I'm sure. Because I had to stop and reevaluate what was going on. Finally, I went to my gastrointestinal doctor, and he says, well, if you know what you can eat and not get sick, then eat that. And slowly put one other thing at a time. Don't eat three or four different things, just one thing. And if you can eat that without getting pain and terrible problems, go on to the next thing. Just slowly progress. Well, I have very few things that I can eat. I cannot go out to eat or anything like that. Now, that's real fear. I was over at the coast the other day. I got over there, and my wife had left my food at home. She didn't bring me much. And it was bad. And I went in there to Jack in the Box, and I ordered a sandwich, and I figured I could eat a piece of bacon and ham and an egg. And I ate that, and I like to die. It like to kill me. Now, that's real fear. One of the terrible things in life is people that have paranoia. They're afraid of all kinds of stuff. That really are that you don't need to be afraid of. Real fear, if you really fear something that's like today, we've got people running around with diseases that just kill you, don't they? This little young girl died the other day. Marilyn went out there the other day and she got a staph infection in her leg. That wasn't very good. The doctor said, oh. So he gave her some medicine and it went away. But that little girl over there in high school died with it. This is bad stuff. There's viruses out here today that will knock you down. Why, I remember when I was a little kid, we could get bit with chiggers all over the place and mosquitoes all over the place, and all you do is scratch a lot and don't worry about nothing. You get bit by a mosquito today and you may have some real problems. Well, that's not a virus or bird flu or whatever. These are real fears because we have a natural fear to try to stay alive. Okay? But if we die, like Brother David said a few minutes ago, if he dies, he's not worried about it. What he worries about is getting around in everyday life. That's a real fear, isn't it? Yeah? But after a child of God, you know, when you die, it's going to be real good. Best funeral I ever did was Tracy Adams' funeral. 1 John 4:18. I went there and everybody knew she was a child of God. They were crying. There was crying, wasn't there, Brother Bill? People cried. They cried. But they knew where she was. That's the greatest legacy that you can leave behind, is to let your family know where you're going when you die. Some people, when they die, their family is in great torment because they know where they went too. And it's not a good place. That's bad. Because that's eternal, isn't it? Let's look and see what it is. There's fears here. Phobos. Fear not, it is in the love. But the word is there is the mature finished project. Teleia. Teleia. That comes from telos. That means the end. The end. The final product. The final product, perfect love, mature love. Mature love. What's it do? Exo bale. It kicks out the fear. All right? True love, perfect love, mature love, it casts out, it kicks out, it 86s fear. The fear. Tone phobon, that's accusative singular. All right? Because, hote, because ho phobos, because the fear, punishment, it has in itself. Fear is a punisher. Fear is a dread, it's bondage. Fear is a chain. It's slavery, isn't it? People will put off being saved all their life, don't they? Sometimes. They'll put off being saved all of their lives because they want to hold on to a little piece of this world. That's what they got in their head. And so they live in fear because if they die before they get right with the Lord, they know where they're going to go, and that's not for a little while. That's forever. Colossian, punishment. Colossian. That's a hard word. How many of you ever heard of a penal colony? A penal colony. That's Colossian. All right. Fear is like, when you don't know the Lord, it's like living in a penal colony all the time. You're chained up. You're chained to fear. The chains of fear because you're afraid to leave this world, but you want to play in the world. You don't want to turn loose of it. Afraid you're going to miss something good. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing good here that you need to miss.
Of the punishment.
That's right. We're captive. We're captive. Fear captivates us. Fear is the punishment. That's the penalty itself, isn't it? Now, we live in a penal colony outside Christ. Enslavement. Till the crime is paid for. And you know what? If you leave this world without Christ, it's never paid for. You're going to be there forever. In that penal colony, that's the hot place. All right? Punishment? He has. Present, indicative, active, third person singular. He always is going to have. Comes from echo. The one, but the one. Caused to be fearing, but the one caused to be fearing, not, he has been brought to perfection. He has matured. Brother Bill, you've matured a lot in the last 7 years, haven't you? You used to go to church because he is afraid he's going to go to hell if he didn't go to church. Now you go to church because you know you're saved. That's good, isn't it?
You know, Jim, the difference is now I want to go to church. And before, I had to go because I was afraid of going to hell. Nobody made church like, well, you know what I'm saying, like you did, like to know that I'm saved. Nobody made it that.
They never had introduced you to the grace of God.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Now, you would have never matured in that church where you went before. You would have never matured. You had always been living in fear, would you? But now your theology has matured and the Word of God has given you freedom. And joy. Joy. That's good, joy. He hasn't matured. He hasn't been perfected in the love. There's some words, timoria. That means a penalty or a fine. Timoria. It's tau, iota, mem. No, not mem. Mu. Mem's Hebrew. Like T-I-M-O-R-I-A, Timoria, all right? That's penalty. It's going to cost you something. Colossian, that is enslavement until you've paid for the crime. All right? And then Paideon. Paideon, there's another one. What's Paideon mean? Paideon, that means chastisement. That means to spank up straight. Now, Paideon, Colossian, and Timoria, these are all different words. Timoria, remember, is a penalty or a fine or something cost you. Okay? Colossian means you're in jailed until you... Now, just think about this. They used to have debtor's prisons. And if you owed somebody money, they put you in prison. Okay? And you stayed there until the debt was paid. Now, Brother Bill, I got hay fever so bad tonight. Out on the farm. You had to stay in debtor's prison until you paid what you owed. How much money can you make in prison? So you get to stay there for a long time. That's the word Colossian. Now let's look at the word Paideia. Word Paideia. Go to Hebrews 12 and verse 7, someone. Hebrews 12 and 7. Apologize for all my sniffling. I should have taken a Benadryl before I left home, but I might have fallen asleep while I was teaching. Who's got Hebrews 12 and 7? You got it, Brother Randall?
Okay. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?
Go ahead.
But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons.
All right. That's beautiful now. This is a real blessing, this verse is. Why? How many of you like to get whoopings? Huh? Anybody like getting a whooping? who like getting a whooping?
My son. Must have liked it.
You just did it anyway, didn't you?
Got them all the time.
Got them all the time.
Is this assuming?
Well, now we got Timoria. We've got Colossian. All right. Now, this Paideia. This is good. Whoopings are good. They are. If you need them.
Hebrews 12, 7, 8 is Paideia.
Yes. We're going to get disciplined. We're going to be chastised. Okay? Now, nobody likes discipline during the time, do you? Read that Hebrews 12 and verse 7 and 8 again, Brother Randall. I want you to pay really close attention to this because there's a real blessing in this. There is beauty. There is grace. There is love. In these two verses.
It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons.
All right. God deals with you as sons.
For what?
Well, hold on just a minute. Well, go ahead and read that. Go ahead.
For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?
Okay. Now, every one of us that have been saved in this room, I'm sure that we have walked out of the pathway sometime or another. And if you're a child of God and you walk out of the pathway, you know what you're going to get? What you're going to get, Brother David? That's right. By whom?
By the Lord.
By the Lord Himself. Now just think about that. How many have ever been whipped by God? Say, thank you, Lord. Now, at the time, we don't want to say thank you, Lord, do we? We don't want to say that. But that's what tells you that you're God's child. And you get spankings, you get chastisement because he loves you. He doesn't whoop you because he's mad at you. The parents, many parents get mad if their children beat the tar out of them. You should never whoop a child when you're mad at him. That shouldn't have anything to do with a whipping. God does not whip you because he's mad at you. Never. He whips you for your future comfort. We get ourselves in trouble, don't we? Don't we? We get ourselves in trouble. In trouble. Did Esau get his people in trouble? Huh? Permanently. Till this very day. How long ago is that? Over 3,000 years ago. Think about that for a while. When Isaac's wife was pregnant, she was having a bellyache. And God says, that which is in your womb are two nations wrestling. And who was it? Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. And God says, before they were born, Esau I hated, and Jacob I loved. Because he knew what they were going to turn out to be. And not only that, he knew what their children were going to turn out to be. Your sins can curse your children for generations. Esau's sins curse his children for 3,000 years to this day. Wouldn't you rather get a whooping then curse your children? Think about that. Jacob was a bum at times, wasn't he? He was terrible. But you know, there's the error. Did God whip Jacob up straight? And he did. Did Jacob make mistakes? Uh-huh. But Jacob was a son. He got a whooping. And how was his descendants? Were they blessed or cursed? Blessed. Think about that. The best gift that you can give to your children is to show them what kind of Christian you are. Hopefully a good one. Alright? Give them that kind of example when you're not doing good, because that's what they're going to act like. That's the way it's going to be. When you're off the beam, that's what they're going to act like. And they say, see, Dad, you did that. Mom, you did that. Yeah. Also got a whooping for it. So now it's your turn. Well, fear is punishment in itself. Fear is punishment in itself. When we have mature love, love casts out all of that fear, doesn't it? Much fear. When you're a child of God and you get a spanking from the Lord, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, because I know I am your child. Read number 8, brother. Read that.
You are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons.
All right, there's when you need the fear. If you think you can get by with going out and doing anything that you want to in your life and God never comes down on you, whew, you need to have a phobia. Croesus phobia. Fear of judgment, because you're going to come into judgment. Not correction, but judgment. Not pies, not paideia, but judgment. All right, 419. Himes, agapomen, hote, autos, protos, agapason, himas. And this is We love. Now, there is no object here. There should be an object there. But the object is what you call a practical objective. In other words, like a practical substantive, it stands in there. We love what? God. Okay? We should love God. All right? Because He loved us. We ought to love God because He first loved us. Our love is a response to His having loved us. And we realize how much God loves us after we repent and after we believe and after we trust. Then we can appreciate the love of God. Because no longer you were wholly damned before. Now you're wholly saved. Isn't it nice to be wholly saved? To know that God is going to, you're going to be in His presence one of these days? Period. That's it. By the grace of God. We love God. You can put God in parenthesis there. Because He, first, He loved us. And that's the way a child of God ought to look at God. God didn't have to save anybody, did He? Is there anything that means that God had to save anybody? When man went astray, He could have just zapped us all forever. He could have. But He was going to redeem us. He would redeem us. He will send the conviction of His Spirit in every person's life. And if you repent and if you believe, by the grace of God, you are saved. As simple as that. All of that happens pretty much at the same time. I've had people say, when are you saved? When you repent or when you believe? There's people arguing about that. How many angels could stand on the head of a pin, you know? I mean, this type of thing. When we repent and when we believe, we are saved. Period. And it all happens pretty much at the same time. Now, there is a progression. There's a time element in learning. And even getting freedom in Christ. There's a time element in that, isn't there? Bill, it was 30 years for you, wasn't it?
39 years.
39 years that he lived in fear. But mature love, when you learn about God's love, I don't care how many spankings you get from the Lord, we ought to just say, thank you, Lord. Because we know we are His. He's not going to spank you if you're not His. God doesn't spank the devil's children. Did you know that? He spanks His children. He spanks His children. Have you ever realized how much God loves you in spite of you? Huh? How much God loves you in spite of you? It takes a lot, doesn't it? How many of you have perfect children? You got perfect children, brother?
No hands up on that.
Nobody?
Well, if you ask my kids, I'll say they're perfect. But if you ask me, I'm a son. No, I don't think so.
I'm going to ask you something. Now, we don't have perfect children. Some are better than others. But do you love them?
The same.
Yeah. You love them anyway.
Regardless.
Now, if you're going to love them like God does, you're going to correct them. I don't care if they're 50 years old. Or 40. Or whatever. Or 20. Or 8. You do. They have to know right from wrong. If you're 60 years old and you're God's child and you go the wrong way, is God going to correct you? That's right. We need to tell them that. We need to show them that. They need to understand that. John, the 20th chapter, verses 4, and John 3:16, 1 John 4 and 10, they all cross-reference to this. Let's go to John 20, verses 4 and 8. Let's look at that. John 20 and verses 4 and 8. Are you over there, Irma? Nope. Rebecca? John 20 and verse 4.
4?
Uh-huh. You've got a good, strong voice.
So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first.
Is that 20 and verse 4?
John 20.
Uh-huh. John 20 and verse 4. All right.
Okay,
and then number 8.
8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed.
All right. Now when John referred to himself, how did he refer to himself?
The disciple
that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved too, in spite of me. Now, they had seen Jesus crucified. They had seen him arrested. Peter was so strong. You know, I mean, he grabbed one of those real short, heavy swords, and he swung at one of the high priest guards there, and he meant to cut his head off. And he ducked, and he cut his ear off. Now, right there, Peter could have been killed. Do you know that? He could have been killed. Now, John is the only one that writes about and tells the high priest's servant's name and says Peter did it, because Peter was already dead when John wrote it. Did you know that? Otherwise, they could have taken that piece of paper, the Gospel of John, and could have prosecuted Peter. That was evidence. Okay? Peter meant to kill him. And he was real brave while Jesus was in his sight, but when Jesus got out of sight, his love waned, didn't it? Because he wasn't sure. Today, we know Jesus died on the cross for us. We know that he went to the grave. We know that he arose from the grave forevermore. And so our love for God ought to be a whole lot stronger than what Peter's love, than what John's love, or anyone, because we know the end of the story, don't we? We know the end of the story. All right? And we ought to love him because he first loved us. Think about Peter and think about John as they ran to the tomb to find out whether he was a rose. You know, I mean, the women came and told him he's not there. They thought maybe somebody had stolen him. Still, lack of faith and lack of understanding. There was a time element in that learning, wasn't there? And then all the disciples that saw Jesus that he had raised from the dead, that was one that didn't believe. He wouldn't believe, he said, until what? Until I touch him, until I put my finger in the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side, what they actually did was, according to history, they took Goliath's sword and stabbed him with it. Because they felt that had a tremendous amount of power because David had touched that sword. They wanted to kill Jesus. And as far as some of those disciples were concerned, he was dead. I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a living Savior. I know that. That ought to give you a lot more strength in your love for him. Verse 20. Verse number 20. Ion. Tis. Epe. Pote. Agapo. Tone. That's good. I like that. Kai. Tone. Adelphon. Altu. Mise. See that word Mise there, David? That's where I told you about that the other day. Remember? Sustase. Heston, Ho, Gar, May, Agapon, Tone, Adelphon, Altu, Tone, Urakin, Tone, Theon, Tone, Uk, Urakin, U, Dinate, Agapon. That's a long verse, wasn't it? I wrote up here that if you love God, then live for God, so you're not wasting your life. The only one reason that God leaves you here after you're saved, and that is to witness for Him and to be useful. You're supposed to lead people to God by yourself because, let's just face it, some people, the only Bible they ever see is you. Period. Now, third class conditional. That's a real if, isn't it? That's if. All right? That what makes that an if right there, that eon? What makes that an if? Do you remember? Look at that little a pane there with the iota subscript underneath that ada. That's third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. So the verb in the subjunctive mode tells you that this conditional particle over here is going to be a third class conditional. All right? That's the indicator. Okay, it's third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. It comes from ipon. Now, this condition is undetermined but with a prospect of determination. All right. When it comes to human volition, hey, here we go. When it comes to human volition, every time the Bible speaks, if you were a hyper-Calvinist, this wouldn't work with your ideology and your theology. Because if you're a child of God, as far as they're concerned, you're irresistibly going to serve the Lord. Because you are saved. Okay? But, we come to God because of our volition. Relinquishing it. The most dangerous thing God ever gave you was your sovereignty. God is sovereign, and He created you in His sovereign image. And even when we're born again, there's a certain amount of sovereignty that we hold over our own things, our own self, doesn't it? Now, if we relinquish that sovereignty, we're going to be a lot better off. Now and later. If someone, anyone, he may say, all right, that I love the God. Okay? This is church members, all right? If someone says that I love God and the brother of him, he may hate. Look at that word, that subjunctive mode. Put that down every time you see that subjunctive mode. That he may hate. Liar, soothsayer. He's a fake. He's a fraud. He's an imitation. All right? He is. And he continues to be. You know, when you're born again, what is the first thing that you think about? Making babies. Making baby Christians. That's right. You do, don't you? You want other people. That's what you're here for, is to spawn other life. That's it. You're here to bring forth life. That's why you're left here. You ought to make other babies. You ought to see other people born into the family of God. That's why you're here. Let's think about it for a while. I used this as an illustration here a while back. How many of you know what a salmon is? Salmon, that's fish. A salmon is born in some creek, some river, or some stream someplace. And it gets up and it escapes being ate up by some other fish or somebody out there with a net or a hook. Its whole life is to go back up there to that stream and spawn. It lives its whole life to get enough strength and fat and muscle and endurance out in those oceans to go back up that little stream and to spawn. And once it has spawned, it dies. How long are you supposed to have a testimony for the Lord? As long as you're breathing. That's right. That's why God left you here. Now, a salmon, when it dies, it doesn't die in the feet, in the stream. It dies out in the ocean. It dies in some other fish's mouth. It dies in the feet. But when it goes back up there in the stream and it spawns and it brings forth new life, it has died in victory. That's what we ought to look at. As long as you're still breathing, then there's one place for you, and that's here, serving the Lord in one of His churches. That I love God and the brother of him, he may hate. How do you hate your brother? By not introducing him to your Lord. How do you hate your children? By not living for the Lord and giving them a life and a standard to follow. Esau, did he hate his children? In all reality, did Esau hate his children? He cursed every one of them for hundreds of years, thousands of years. He cursed them. In the Old Testament, it says for sometimes up to seven generations, a parent's sin will curse his family. What you do now is really important. It really is important. He said, and hates the brother of him, liar he is, for the one not loving the brother. Now just think about this word brother here. The brother him whom he has seen, the God whom not he has seen, not he is caused to be able to love. Not dinate, that's where we get the word dynamite. Okay, that's powerful, powerful strength. Not he is caused to be able to love, present infinity active. Beautiful verse, a searching verse. It searches your heart, doesn't it? Searches your heart. God's people that are out of sorts don't want to go to church because the Word of God condemns them. Lost people don't want to go to church because the Word of God condemns them. Isn't that right? Verse 21. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Matthew 5:43 and 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. 1 John 13 and verse 34 and 3 and 11. John 15 and 13, Mark 12, 29 through 31. These are all cross-references to this verse. Remember, no verse stands alone, and this is the last verse in the fourth chapter of 1 John. Kai?
Kai.
Taute?
Taute.
Tain?
Tain.
Intelane?
Intelane.
Ekoman?
Ekoman.
Op? Alto? Hina? Ho? Agapon? That's good.
Agapa.
Agape.
Agapa.
Okay, that's good. I didn't even have to read it. Now that's when you know that they're doing it, Brother John. When they can read the lesson in Greek. I promised you if you'd stay in the class for 3 years, you could do that, didn't I, Brother David? Has it sung true? All right. And this, Tautain. And this, the commandment, we have. All right? This, the commandment. What's the word commandment there means? That's an edict, isn't it? That is a injunction. That's a subpoena. That's right. All these things. That's what that intellect means. a subpoena, indictment that we have from him. That, in order that, Hina, the one loving the God, the one that's whole, the one, that word one, that one there is a practical substance. See, it stands in there just like we saw the objective substantive before. This is a practical substantive. The one loving, nominee singular, masculine, present, participle, active, the one loving the God, the one habitually loving the God, ton, theon, accusative, singular, masculine. He, look at this. He may love. He should love. This is what we call the futuristic subjunctive. Third person singular, present, subjunctive, active. Do you see that subjunctive mode there? You just look at that every time you see it. Who's it up to? God wants you to serve Him. He does. Is He going to make you? No. If you want to be blessed by God, you will. You can't have God's blessing if you just want to go your way. God's got a plan for your life. He should love also the brother of him. He should love also the brother of him. And who is this Adelphone here? We have the same daddy, don't we? Adelphone comes from Ah and Delphi. All right? Delphi means womb, from the same womb. Now, we're birthed from the same father, aren't we? Huh? Last night, we had a most fantastic... Anybody here last night? Marilyn, you were here. We had a fantastic message last night. Brother Roger preached a fantastic message. Just great. You ought to hear it. Thank you, brother. When you love God, you quit being so selfish. Don't you? You don't want your way all the time. He was talking about the great controversy we have over music. He said, you know what? When you love the Lord, when you're going in the same direction, he said, we can't please everybody. He said, it's impossible. Do you think you can please everybody, Brother Bill? How about you, Brother David? You ever try to please everybody? That's what a church is called to do sometimes. It's impossible. But you love the Lord. When you love the Lord, you're going to just do certain things. You're just going to go on. Just go on and do it. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Now, we had all these cross references that we could have gone to. Everyone, let's go to Mark 12, 29 through 31. We can't finish that last verse yet. Mark 12, 29 through 31. Let's look at least that one. Are you there? Who's over there? Are you there, Rebecca? Mm-hmm. Boy, you're fast.
12:29, right?
Yeah.
Him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this.
I'll tell you what, that's great. That is a task. Isn't it? That's a task right there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your fellow man. Why do you do that? Because God loved you first. And you want to introduce them to you. You want to introduce them to you. To your God. Faith is victory over the world. Did you know that? Faith is absolute victory over this world. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Let's go there. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. He started quoting it, Brother Bill. What's it say there?
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's just quite a mouthful right there.
Take it,
say it one more time.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Abraham's descendants all believed they were going to have some of the promised land. They're going to have it. Did they ever get it yet? Did they believe it? Israel today believes that still. In spite of all the obstacles, but there's a promise way over there, isn't there? Now, when we're born into this world, we're born to die. That's it. You've got a sentence of death in you already. And every one of us have that sentence of death in us. We're all related to our father Adam, which gives us a sentence of death. But in this life, we have a choice. We can go two ways. The way toward God or the way toward your own desires. And your own desires, the end of that road is what? Death.
Love describes your response to Jesus' commandment here in Mark.
Go back and read that now, brother.
And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question.
But one of them did, didn't they? He said, Who is my neighbor? Remember? Who is my neighbor? And then the Lord talked about the poor guy on the road to Jericho. Remember that story? Yeah. Who was his friend? Who was his friend? The Good Samaritan. Remember that? All right. Pas. Ho. Pision. Hote. Jesus. Esten. Ho. Christos. Ek. Tu. Theu. Gagan nekte, kai, pos, ho, agapon, ton, gane santa, agapa, kai, ton, gaganamenon, ek, alton. Now this is quite a, we really jumped into something big here. Faith is victory over the world, verses 1 through 5. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 is going to be explaining that. It says, Ever the one believing that Jesus, He is the Christ. Now remember who John is combating here, the Gnostics. The Gnostics of today, the Gnostics are the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's who he's talking about. People that believe that Jesus is not God in flesh, the real Messiah. Now to believe that God is Christ, you have to believe that God was in Christ, that Jesus is God, that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus went in the grave, and that body of Jesus was resurrected, Anastasia, and that He walked around, and that He was really raised. And 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, relate that. Paul relates what the gospel is. The gospel is what? The gospel of God, the good news is that God would come, Genesis 3:15, that He would be the seed of the woman, that He would come and He would live His life substitutionary for us, that he would die on the cross and that he would be buried in a rich man's grave, it says, even prophecy. And all of this according to what? The Scriptures. And that he would be raised. Not a spiritual body, as the Gnostics said and the Jehovah's Witnesses say, but in the real person. In his real, glorified, resurrected body. Like we're going to have. Isn't that beautiful? We're going to have one of those too. And it says, out of the God, he has been begotten. Third person singular, perfect, indicative, passive. He has been caused to be begotten. When you believe, then you're born again. And every the one loving the one having been begotten, who's that? Jesus. He loves the one having been begotten out of him. Now, we love each other in a church body. I have never seen in my life a perfect church. Nor will I in this life. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Because we're all individuals, aren't we? We struggle around in this life. But we love one another regardless of our likes and dislikes. Because we like God. Huh. We like God. We like Him. We love Him. So therefore we love our brothers. The Corinthian Antichrist denies the identity. The Corinthian Antichrist. These were the Gnostics. They denied the bodily person of Jesus Christ. That God was in Christ. They denied that He rose from the dead. Now, John wrote this letter to combat them. And he gives you this letter to go out and try to lead them to the Lord. Because this is a letter written to Jehovah's Witnesses. Did you know that? It's a letter written to them. This is a letter written to the Mormons. This is a letter written to the Christadelphians and to Herbert Armstrongism and all of those that don't believe in the real person of Jesus Christ. It's to lead them. Now, if I was one of them, if I had one of these letters in my Bible, I'd throw it away. If I wanted to remain in that culture, I'd have to because this letter is written against me. Gospel of John would be real hard to swallow. Because the same writer. And he's proven the same point. He wasn't going to write a gospel. Well, now you've got your job cut out for you. Brother Bill, you enjoy your work, don't you? He used to run, hide, and close the door, not answer the door. Now that he learned enough about the Word of God, he wants to share it with these people that come along with their little watchtowers.
I told you, I think I got blackballed. They come down and skipped my house the other day. I was standing up at the door waiting on the tone, and they skipped my house.
Yeah.
The last time
you've been marked, brother.
My little brother said they blackballed. The preacher came last time. He said, "Oh, yeah, I heard about you."
Well, there you have your ammunition. Now you can go and you can take the First John and say, "This is written for you. I have a letter for you. I have a letter for you." The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Book of Revelation. These letters are written for you, and they all are. They're all written for the Gnostics. To lead them to the Lord, back to the Lord. Those Gnostics got involved in God's churches back then. And these letters were written to correct their heretical views. I'll tell you what, that'll keep you out of heaven. That's how important it is. It'll keep you out of heaven. Thank you tonight for your attention and the endurance of those hard seats. Go out and do something eternal this week. Brother Bill, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
so far, Jesus, we just thank you so much for the study of being in your house, Lord. Have the fellowship and the knowledge that you have got to pass on to us, Lord, that we might be able to use it to help others is what you have us for.